Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Upgrade. God got me living upgrade. Left sin cause she betrayed. His words had me up late. I did stray, but I've been saved. Wanna stay, so I did pray. I'm lightweight, but I outweigh. No weapon form will dismay. I've been brave. Upgrade. I still do it even underpaid. In the sun, I got no shade. My life smooth, it's been swayed. Upgrade. Okay. Your guts, it's your play. Why live like a renegade? You better miss the heat, D-Wade. He did that. I can explain no syntax. Highly favored, unfair facts. Commonwealth, no fear facts. You lost the week to get tears back. You must have eat from them lame cats. Them dim boys, they upgraded. So you know we always gonna kill tracks. It's major.
Well, we've been in a series called Year of the Upgrade. The end of last year was really seeking the Lord about a word for our church. And I think that's important as your pastor to have some kind of direction going in. And I didn't share this before, but I really wrestled with this word. And the reason I wrestled with it is because as God began to speak to me about the upgrade, sometime really back in August, I started hearing this, that he was bringing us out of the last season that we were in and bringing us into a season of upgrade. I started wrestling with it a little bit towards the end of the year because I began to see where things are headed. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a lot going on in America today. We've got a battle at the border in Texas right now that's about to break out. We've got the state troops guarding that border and against the federal troops that are being dispatched over there to take down the barbed wire. And then we've got 25 governors that are supporting the governor of Texas that are also dispatching troops over there. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to have a civil war over this issue or what. And then we've got this election coming up. Y'all remember 4 years ago, right? It was crazy around here. It was crazy, all the crazy political stuff going on. People that loved Biden and hated Trump, and people that loved Trump and hated Biden, and it was splitting churches. I had people come and say, Pastor, if you support Trump, I don't know if you could be my pastor. I just tell you, let me help you. If that's what you define your pastor by, I'm probably not your pastor right now, because policies and politics have nothing to do with my pastorship towards you. And the church said, amen. Yeah, we'll be tested on that. So, you know, well, Pastor, if you support Biden, then how could you call yourself a true Christian? See, I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to save you some time. Miss me with all that. Amen. My job is to pastor the church of Jesus Christ. We can have conversations. I'm not saying I won't talk politics. We'll talk about, we'll have conversations. But we're not going to get into the pettiness of it all. And we're not going to let a spirit of anger and confusion rip the body of Christ apart. Right now, the economy is in turmoil. I mean, we're still paying over $5 for a gallon of gas, $6 for a carton of eggs, for a dozen eggs. Give me a break, y'all. It's bad out there. And it's about to get worse with all that's going on. I hate to tell you that. Like Pastor Tina was saying, the sign of the times is out there. But here's what I began to say, what I heard the Spirit of God say to me as I began to raise the question, how can this be a year of upgrade if there's so much turmoil around us? And he began to show me in the Word of God that those that obeyed the Word of the Lord, he took care of during the famine.
Yes.
See, he fed Elijah when the rest of the country was starving. See, when Egypt was going through the plagues, the children of Israel were not affected. And see, the reason that is because they had the word of the Lord. So I'm trying to upgrade you with the word of the Lord, that no matter what happens, we're going up. Amen? And we've lived this. See, COVID was tough, y'all. COVID was tough. But you know what? I bought a house during COVID. COVID, man, we lost a lot of people in our church. But you know what? We got a new building during COVID. We did. We elevated during COVID, okay? So God's already proven that he can do this. And I believe no matter what comes the rest of the year, it's going to be a year of upgrade for us. And the church said, The amen means I agree. That's why I keep asking you for those things. Because if you and I can agree on it, it can be established. Now, the year of the upgrade, we've been talking about that. And I looked up that word upgrade, just a quick review for you. And it means this: to elevate something to a higher standard, in particular, to improve by adding or replacing components at a cost. And so here's the big deal, right? It's going to cost us something. Amen. And that's not a bad thing, because things that are worth having should cost you something. There's a difference when you buy your sneakers or if somebody gives you them for free. All right. There's a difference when you buy a car and somebody gives you a car for free. You usually get what you pay for. And so if we're going to upgrade our lives, we've got to be willing to pay a cost. And so we've been talking about, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, we started in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, that says this: Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Let me stop right there. Guys, you should highlight that scripture in your Bible, because this reveals the will of God for your life. He says that above all things, he wants you to prosper and be in health. And the church said, this is the will of God for you. This is why Jesus took 39 stripes, so that every disease that could hit mankind, he bled so that we could be healed. He bled for the healing of the nations. He also came to defeat poverty. That's why he tells Isaiah to go and preach good tidings to the poor. What is good tidings to the poor? That you don't have to be poor. God has made provision. He has provided for you and I through all the riches of Jesus Christ. This is the will of God. But yet, if I'm honest, I've been in church now 32 years, and I see Christians that never manifest this scripture in their life. They never become prosperous. They're always behind the eight ball. They never have enough money. They never have enough grace. It's we're shy of this. Let me show you why. It says right here. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. That's the key. You'll never move beyond the level of your thinking. And so we talked about last week that there's two components involved in you changing. There's teaching, which happens out here. It's what I'm doing. And there's learning, which is what happens in you in here. So every week I come and the Holy Spirit comes and does his part to teach you. But my question to you, my brother and sister, are you learning? Because you could be amongst teaching and learn nothing. And folks, I submit that's where some of us are at. You've been following this vision for a very long time, and you're still struggling with some things. And please, this is not a judgment. This is just God revealing a key to say, hey, I don't want you to stay at the level you're at. God's got a house for you. See, somebody missed that. I said, God's got a house for you. God's been had a house for you. He died on the cross so that you could have a house. Oh, pastor, where's that in the Bible? I just read he wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be a property owner. I could teach you on that. There's so much about that in the scriptures, that as followers of Jesus Christ, he has given us the land. I don't believe that's just figuratively, because why? Authority comes with ownership. Somebody needs to write that down. That'd be a good tattoo right there too. Just saying. And so we've got to see that it's the will of God that we prosper. But here's the thing holding you back, right? Your soul's not prospering. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotions. So if we can get your soul to prosper, you'll prosper. So the mind, the will, and the emotions, there's some things that are going to help you there. Well, what is that? We've got to renew our mind with the word of God. Let me take you over to Psalms 25, 12 through 14. This is our second foundational scripture. It says, those who fear the Lord, he will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity. Do y'all say that? Oh, see that? Do y'all see that? Brock Purdy.
There you are.
Okay. Come on, y'all. Don't leave me hanging out there. See, amen means I agree. And when one or two agree, every word is established. So when I say God wants you to prosper,
amen,
let it be so. But when I say God has a house for you, nothing happens. Look what he says. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. I would highlight that for some of y'all getting started today. See, the Lord is a friend to those who fear him. Now listen to this. And he teaches them his covenant. This is what I'm doing. I'm trying to teach you the ways of God. But some of you ain't learning. And listen, how do I learn, Pastor? How do I learn? Well, number one, you value the word of God. Somebody needs to write that down. You value the word of God. You'll never learn anything you don't value. That's why some of you have been coming to church 10 years and you ain't changed, because you don't value this. This is why some of us don't give here, because you don't value the word of the Lord. This is why some of you might only come to church twice a month or once every 6 weeks, like the average Christian in America, because there's no value for the word of God. You'll never learn what you don't value. And the church said, amen. Look at Romans chapter 2:2-3. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person into a new person by changing the way you think. There it is. Change the way you think. If this is going to be a year of upgrade, we've got to change the way we think. If your business is going to go to another level, you got to change the way you think. If your marriage is going to get better, you got to change the way you think. If you're going to raise good kids and be a good mom, you got to change the way you think. Do I need to keep going? The key is this: change the way you think. And I promise you, if you're a member of this church, I'm going to do my part to pray, to fast, to seek God, to bring you the word, and do everything I can do to teach you the word of God. I'll use whatever I got to do that. But see, you've got to learn it. And you can't learn it if you don't value it. And that brings us to what we were talking about last week. I read a book many years ago. It was a secular book that was given to teachers that teach in the inner city. And they had all these white teachers that didn't understand why they couldn't connect with people of color in the inner city. And so this doctor, Dr. Ruby Payne, she wrote this book called The Framework for Overcoming Poverty. And in this book, she talks about that poverty is not about money, okay? It's not about how much money you have. It's about how you think. And she also goes on to list that there are 8 resources in a person's life that greatly influence achievement. And so if you think you're going to solve poverty by just giving somebody money, you're mistaken, because it's never worked. Even I gave you the statistics last week about players in the NFL. There's like 70% of NFL players go bankrupt 5 years after they've played the game. And these are guys that have had $20 million contracts, $10 million contracts. The NBA is just as bad. You give these guys $80 million contracts, and I think it's 2 years after they retire. Many of them are bankrupt and have no money. Why? Because you'll never solve the problem of poverty with making more money. And this is why some of you need to quit praying for money, because it's not going to fix you. We need to learn. And if you can learn the Bible, your life will change. And we need to elevate that in our churches in America today. I can't just give you a TED Talk, pat you on the butt, and tell you it's going to be all right. No, I got to teach you the word of God. I got to show you that there's a better way to do this. Because if we can educate you in things, you can leave poverty thinking. The second part is relationships. The second way out of poverty is through relationships. And these are studies that were not done by Christian people. These are done by sociologists and things. And they found, how do people in the inner city get free from poverty? Through education. And the second is relationships. Why do relationships matter that much? Because there's accountability in relationships. There's an exchange of information in relationships. And this is why you're not helping yourself when you only go to church occasionally. Because now you're not building relationships. And if you're not building any new relationships, your thinking many times doesn't change. I could tell you of 32 years of serving God, and I've come from South Sacramento. I've been in these streets. No, I'm just joking. Much of how I've changed has come through the people that I've met. I say this all the time. If God is going to change your life, he's going to do it through one of 3 ways. Ooh, I'm going to change your life. Y'all need to write this down. Don't just look at me. This will help you. And if God is going to change your life, he's going to do this through one of 3 ways, right? The people you meet, the messages you hear, the books you read. The people you meet, the messages you hear, and the books you read. When you're saying, God, speak to me, help me, why is my life a mess? I don't know if you think he's just going to show up at your front door. I don't know what you think the answer to that prayer is. Well, let me help you. Start looking to meet new people. Start reading a book or two. And start coming to church and leaning in like, okay, this could be the message that changes everything. But see, again, it comes back to what you value. And so in this book, she talks about what poverty consists of. And see, poverty consists is consistent upon eight resources that greatly influence achievement. Number one, financial. Number two, emotional. Number three, mental. Number four, spiritual. Number five, physical. Number six, support systems. Number seven, role models. Number eight, knowledge of hidden rules. And we're going to go through these things because the Word of God has something to say about all of them. And when you renew your mind in the Word of God and learn the kingdom way of living, all eight of these things will get met in your life. If you don't value God's Word and you think it's just church and, oh, I just go into church, like some of you have, then you stay poor in so many of these areas. Like some of you make more money than your parents did growing up, but nothing changed. Your home is just like theirs. You act just like your mom. Ooh, I know those are fighting words for some of y'all in here. Ooh, pastor. You're just like her. You're just like your dad. Well, I can feel that in the room. Don't be saying that to me. I feel a brick spirit in the back. Where's my security? Security. You know, these are things that happen because in order to solve the problem of impoverished thinking and get an upgrade, these eight things need to be looked at in our lives. And so last week, I tried to kind of lay a foundation. If you missed it, please go back and listen to that on the podcast, on Spotify, or on Facebook and YouTube. Because I'm trying to get you to see what I'm talking about. Because you could sit there and go, oh, yeah, I get it. But until we get these illustrations and things, we got to understand. And so last week, we talked about the three different ways of viewing life in our society. One is the impoverished view, all right, or the lower class. The other is the middle class, and the last one is the upper class, okay, those that make a certain amount of money or whatever it is, and there's three different ways that we have of looking at things, and we looked at the examples of food, people that have been raised in impoverished homes. We look at food, and we value food based on quantity, all right, and so when we're going to a restaurant, we pick the one that gives us the most. And we tell our friends, oh, let's go to that one Mexican spot because them burritos are as big as your head. And there's no thought about is it good or not. It's just I know if I go there, I get a lot. You know, these are the people that love the buffet. Come on. They love to slap down, you know, $18.99 all you can eat. Never mind that that food's been sitting under the heat lamp all day. All day, y'all. All day. And when you ask them to change it, they pick it up, walk around, do a lap, and bring the same thing back to you. And you don't care. Why? Listen, people don't care. Why? Because they value the quantity of what they're getting above all. Amen? Now, again, I'm not advising and saying one is right and one is wrong. I'm just showing you the lenses. So go ahead and go get your buffet after. Amen. Go ahead and go to Yum Yum or whatever. Go to Corral. That's fine. No judgment, no conviction. I'm just trying to show you there's a different way of thinking. And so the middle class view food, right, based on quality. So they don't want to go to that place that's all you can eat for $8.99 because they've learned that it's really not good. You know, that steak ain't the same as the one I'm going to get from this place. And so they think in terms of quality. Okay, some of us have moved into that level. And so we want quality food. But there's another level. The upper class views something like food not based on quantity or quality, but they want it based on presentation. And so you go to an upscale restaurant, and it's got to be pretty. And so they bring you a little petite filet. And it's got mashed potatoes with a little design in it and some vegetables, so nice, and a little flour on the steak. And you look at that and you go, what am I supposed to do with that flour? Why is that there? You don't even understand because your context of thinking doesn't understand presentation. You get the food and you're mad because you paid $50 for this itty bitty filet and some mashed potatoes and that ruins your dinner. Oh, man. $50 for this? See, because you're looking through a lens of impoverished thinking. They're happy about it. Oh my God, did you see the flower? Oh, it's got a little flower on the steak. And they pay the bill and they're happy because the presentation was on point. And they'll say things like, my, you know, compliments to the chef. It's a different way of thinking. Where you're going to leave that place mad. If I ain't never coming back here. I could have grilled my own steak for $11 and it would have been three times as big as that. But you don't get the view. We also talked about viewing the physical body, and we looked at how the impoverished mind looks at the body and views the body. And some of us have come from homes where all you knew was you got to work hard to make it out the hood. You got to work hard. We just got to work hard. We got to get out there and work hard. See that comes from an impoverished mindset. Now, let me just say this. Calm down. I can see it on some of y'all. What you mean? My mama taught me to work hard. Yeah, that's good. Work hard is good, but it's not the only way. And so we put everything, if we're going to make it, on our physical bodies. And so, you know, I remember I came from this type of thinking, man. My dad put that in me. He said, you got to work hard. And it wasn't until I moved to Florida and I was around my spiritual father who was Caucasian. And I was driving him somewhere one day. And we came across these workers in Florida heat, guys. Florida heat is crazy. And I began to say, man, Pastor, look at these guys out here. And I was admiring them. I was going, man, they are such hard workers. That's amazing. And he looked at me and he recognized my view. In other words, I had been taught that physical labor was more valuable than desk work, than using my mind. And I was putting this on, I was saying, and as we were driving, he began to let me in on another mindset. And he began to say, you know what, that's admirable, son, but the person that's working in that office building next to them, it's just as admirable. Just as admirable. I could feel it in the room. Some of you struggle with that. See, because the impoverished minds think if I'm going to make it out, it's based on my physical body. That's why we teach our sons to, if you want to go to college, pick up a basketball. Learn to throw a football, son. We'll get you to college. No, teach him to get good grades. Get him a tutor. Don't let him go out on a school night. You see, and so we put all the emphasis. Are you getting anything out of this? Am I helping anybody? And so we put this mindset in the next generation that says the only way you're going to make it out if you physically do it yourself. This is why when they get in issues, they don't know how to problem solve. They want to fight everybody. They want to fight everybody. You get in a fender bender, and you better be careful if it's somebody in an impoverished mindset. They get out of the car and they want to fight you. Ain't no need to fight. Let's just get our information. And whoever was at fault will get paid. That sound good? Not to an impoverished mind. Impoverished mind says, if I got to solve this, I got to punch you in the mouth for hitting me. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all smiling like, that's me, Pastor. Well, I'm trying to help you today because the physical body is everything to those folks. We said it before. It's the same way with parents that raise young girls. We raise young girls to think them that teach them that they're their body. And we let them go outside in middle school and high school wearing tight jeans, their butt all out, tight tube tops, look like streetwalkers. And you allowing that, oh, help me. Can y'all smile at your pastor today? I feel it in the room. See, you are illustrating what I'm talking about. Because you're teaching her that this is okay to be out there showing off her body because it's that body that's going to get her a man. It's that body that is going to get her through in life. And I just got to tell you, there's another way. Because I met some fine women that were dumb as rocks. I met some sexy women in my day that were mean as rattlesnakes, full of devils. And if you think your body and your sexual nature is going to keep a man, you're going to learn today. And some of us have found that out the wrong way, right? Because if you need sex to get a man, listen, you're not going to be able to keep that man. There's got to be something more there. And so in impoverished neighborhoods and impoverished people put this expectation on the next generation, and they think their only way out is through their body. And then we have so many young girls growing up with, you know, image problems and things like that. When they go on Instagram, they don't feel as sexy as the next girl, and they don't feel this. But see, in homes where there's middle class and upper class, they teach their kids, hey, you're more than your body. Let's develop that brain. Let's get you some people skills. Here, let me show you how to be polite. Ooh, I wish that would come back. Come on. Let me show you how to say thank you, son. Let me show you how to say you're welcome. Let me show you how to say yes, sir, no, sir. Because see, that's going to keep you further than just a toned body. See, we got too many young ladies that don't know how to treat a man because they've never been told by or showed by their parents. All their parents modeled for them is be sexy. So, you know, I have a 21 or 20-year-old daughter, and there were things you would never see her wear, still to this day. You ain't leaving the house in that if she brought it home. Now, luckily, we taught her some sense early on, so we didn't even have to have that talk too much. But there's some of y'all, you need to have that talk. Baby girl, you're not wearing that and leaving this house like that. Are you getting something out of this today? Or is this too close to home? See, what I'm trying to teach you is the different lenses that are out there. And so let me just give you these last few in the moments that I have with you today, these other characteristics of an impoverished mindset. And the reason these are important is because we have a tendency to go, ooh, this is good, this is for them, this is for that person. No, it's for you. It's for me. Because we all come out of this. We all come out of a situation, especially if you're a person of color, whether it's brown, black, Asian, whatever it is, we come out of some of these mindsets. And what I'm challenging you with right now is the kingdom of God is calling you higher. Not Pastor Sergio. Don't do this to please me. The kingdom of God is calling you higher so that you can exercise God's dominion in the earth. If you change your way of thinking, God gives you more. He blesses you more. He takes you further. But if you don't, you stay at the level you're at and you go to church every week and still might not make it into heaven. Because you come to church, but you live like the devil. And we deceive ourselves into thinking, well, just because pastor doesn't know, I'm cool. No, you're not cool because the great shepherd knows. And he sees and it breaks his heart. Can I get an amen on that? So let me give you these last characteristics here of an impoverished mindset. Number one, write these down. People in an impoverished mindset have the inability to delay gratification. The inability to delay gratification. Now, this is a problem, right? Because the Bible teaches us that one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And you and I are called to be patient people. We're called to wait on the Lord. But somebody that's been raised in an impoverished mindset can't wait for anything. That's why in impoverished communities, we have something called Rent-A-Center. Y'all ever heard of Rent-A-Center? It's right over here, next door right here. Two doors down, there's a place called Rent-A-Center. Now, what is Rent-A-Center? Rent-A-Center, it feeds on the impoverished mind of people. And you go, man, I want a couch, but I got to save my money to get one. Rent-A-Center says, no, you don't. We'll give you a couch that you can't afford right now. And we'll just have you paying for it for 20 years. And an impoverished mindset goes, cool. And then what ends up happening is you pay double, sometimes triple. If you'd have just waited. It just waited. But impoverished people can't wait for nothing. They also can't wait to have sex. Check the statistics in impoverished communities. Families of color, children of color, man, we are the first ones to run in there. It defies all the statistics. You want to know why? It's not a race issue. It's not a color issue. It's a mindset issue. We've got to learn that we must delay gratification. You can't have it right now if you don't got it right now. Somebody needs to write that down. Because, see, your inability to delay gratification is going to get you in financial trouble. I've had a dream, Pastor, that I'm going to get a BMW. Oh, and I want it right now. See, someone's going to pray on that. You're going to walk into the dealership, and you're going to say, I just want to get a BMW, but I can't afford it right now. And they hear that, they're like, oh, let me work something out for you. Let me put a little here and put some financing here and throw on a couple more years here. And again, you're in a situation where, sure, you're driving a BMW, but you're paying twice the amount because you could not wait. Are you tracking with me today? We can't live like this. This is also why check cashing places are only in the hood. And I'm just telling you, if you're using a check cashing place, come talk to us. Please, come talk to Pastor Willard, my wife. We'll show you how to get a bank account. Seriously, because those things are taking your money. I'll say it like this. They're actually taking your tithe. It's actually, I think, 15%, 20% now to cash your check through check cashing places. And you know where they don't have check cashing places? Usually not in the suburbs. They have them in the hood. I looked up on Google where Rent-A-Centers are. You know where they're at? South Sacramento, Del Paso Heights. Only two in the whole region. You know why? Because if they put them in Rockland, ain't nobody going to that. Because they know. We know, hey, if I can't afford it, I should wait. Amen? Are you getting something out of this?
Yeah.
So some of us are like that. We can't wait for anything. And so it gets us into problems. So you end up marrying the wrong person because you can't delay gratification. If you'd have just waited, he was coming around the corner. He looked good, too. Somebody told me. They told me that he did. I wouldn't know. But the problem was you couldn't wait. And so you took the first joker that blinked at you. And he was a joker. I mean, my nickname's Joker. Inability to delay gratification. We got to confront this thing. Look at the second one. The second characteristic of an impoverished mind, inability to plan. Can't plan nothing. You know what? And it's part of what makes our outreaches. This is why we do our outreaches during Christmas. Because we know. Now, did y'all know Christmas comes every year? It's not a surprise. It's not like, oh my gosh, what is this new holiday, Christmas? You mean I got to go out and get gifts for my kids? But here's the impoverished mind. It plans for nothing. So now it's December 1st, and you didn't save any money for little mijito. You didn't save any money for your daughter to get her presents. And now you're calling every church in town, and we get the calls. Are you guys giving out toys this year? Are you guys giving out things this year? And they already know where to go to get things because they failed to plan for things that they know are coming. And again, we know it's out there. So every year we try to be a part of being a blessing to people. But you know what's a greater blessing? Learning how to plan. Learning how to plan. Man, if you have kids, plan. You know, that's why some of y'all never had birthdays growing up. Never had birthdays growing up. It would always be like, hey, Dad, it's my birthday tomorrow. I need that for real? Already? Yeah. Oh, okay. Let me see. Here's a stick of gum. Because we don't plan. We don't plan nothing. Man, my wife and I, we talk about our kids' birthdays months out. Just months out. We're getting ready, putting a little aside. It don't hit us by surprise. But see, if you've been living in an impoverished home, you don't plan for nothing. Remember, impoverished minds think of money, spend, rather than manage or invest. And so we got to allow God's word to change us and upgrade us because you got a plan. I tell the Kingsmen all the time, I don't know if they do it or not, but you got to get a calendar. You got to get a calendar. It shouldn't be a surprise that Kingsmen is this Friday. Some of you are going, it is? Because I've been telling you, it's the first Friday of every month. And I've even had some people, I say, hey, where were you on Friday? Oh, you didn't make the announcement on Sunday. See, because they don't plan. They got to hear things. You got to be on them. Some of you got husbands like that, right? You got to tell them all the time. Tell them all, because there's no planning involved. That's an impoverished mindset. It's an impoverished mindset. See, I remember when I moved to Florida and I started getting around my spiritual father and these other people that were not raised in impoverished situations. I went from South Sac to a place called Ocala. And I remember seeing all my friends go on vacation during the summer. Oh, and it was just talking. Hey, where are you going? Where are you taking the family? Where are you taking the family? Oh, I'm taking them here. I'm taking them here. And I just remember like, dang, these people must have money. How are they going on vacations? Because my family, we didn't go on vacation. Vacation was, we're going to go see your tia. Come on. your tio died. There's a funeral. So we're going to take a vacation. And we may go to Disneyland after the funeral. And that was the vacation. It wasn't a planned thing or nothing. And I just remember going, man, that's pretty cool. And then one guy said, hey, you should come with us. I went with him. He had this nice beach house. He had this nice place. And here's the thing. He didn't have a lot of money. So I said, man, how do you do this? Like, how are you getting money to do all this? And he hit me with this. We just plan. We've been putting money away for 15 months. And we do it every year. We just put a little in our vacation fund. And so when August comes every year, we got our vacation fund so we can take our kids to enjoy a great vacation. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. He goes, you bet it. He told me this, you should get on it. And I've heard this through my pastor in different ones. But he said, you only have 18 summers with your kids. It's up to you to make them memorable. But see, some of you are gonna use excuses. Well, we just don't have no money. We don't have money. We can't get out there. No, you can do it if you plan. Can I get an amen on this? This is better preaching than you're letting on, see? Because I know you may want a TED talk and a pat on the butt and say, hey, you're gonna make it, but I can't do that. I don't touch people's butts, first of all, okay? I gotta teach you the word of God. You like that one. Another characteristic of an impoverished mindset is this, that they have the inability to solve problems without fighting or screaming. The inability to solve problems without fighting or screaming. I have seen this. It is crazy. I've seen normal people, when they get in problems, flip a switch, and they're just nuts. And you're just thinking, whoa, 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 it's not that big a deal, but they can't control it. You want to know why? The way they've been raised, the way they think, the inability to solve problems without fighting or screaming. Some of you may have married somebody, you thought, this is a nice person. Then you get married, and next thing you know, there's disagreements, and there's cups and jars flying through the kitchen. And they're screaming, and the neighbors are knocking, hey, keep it down over there. And you're thinking to yourself, what is going on? You know what's happened? Something has been revealed. Something has been revealed that this mindset is in you. Guys, it's not normal. There's better ways to solve problems than fighting and screaming. Doesn't work. You could go on YouTube and see videos of people fighting and screaming in court, screaming at police, screaming in class. You can YouTube videos of kids punching principals. And we think, oh man, those kids are just bad. No, those kids just have impoverished thinking. And who do you think they got it from? Many times our parents. Parents that only came to church once every 6 weeks. Only didn't value the word of God, you know? Are you getting anything out of this today? Let me leave you with this last thing. And here's a big one. And if you go to church here, you hear me say this all the time. A characteristic of an impoverished mind is the inability to be on time. The inability to be on time. Now, I try to smack this around a lot because we make excuses, right? We make excuses all the time. And we say, I'm late just because I'm Mexican, you know. This is just how it is, you know. Ever been to a Mexican wedding? The thing says 1 o'clock, you know it ain't starting till 2. The guests don't even show up till 1:45 because everybody's under the same impoverished thinking. When we first started having the church, and it still happens to this day, but I ain't playing it. When we start every service at 9 on the dot, 11 on the dot. And in the beginning when we started the church, people would say, but, you know, people ain't going to get there until late. I said, so what? We're starting on time. Because I'm not pastoring from an impoverished mindset. And we make jokes about it. When I pastored in Gainesville, Florida, our church was 90, 95% African American. And they would tell me all the time, because I would challenge them too. And they would be like, oh, pastor, you just need to learn something about black folks. This is CPT time. I said, this is kingdom time. We need to change that. My first time I went to Trinidad and Tobago, they said, pastor, we're going to pick you up at 9 o'clock. I said, well, what time does the service start? They said, well, it starts at 9. I said, okay, cool. Do you know I got there and waited 2 hours? They didn't start the service till 11 o'clock. And I got on my driver. I said, hey, why didn't you tell me it started at 11? Oh, no, it starts at 9. People just don't get here till 11. Got it. Guys, it's not a race thing. It's not. And you need to be set free from that. It's an impoverished thinking thing. Stop using your race as an excuse to not educate yourself. And I say it all the time. Listen, service starts at 11. You should be here. Because 11 to 11:30 is not the time you get to receive. It's the time you give. And when we walk in second song, third song, that's disrespectful to the Holy Spirit. And we just kind of waltz in like, good, the word ain't started yet. I'm just telling you, if you're going to upgrade, you've got to go after this spirit. Because it hurts people. It's hurting your kids. It's hurting your husband who is always waiting on you. Smile at me, church. Well, pastor, it's harder for women to get dressed. You could keep saying that. All the while, you're disrespecting your husband. If he's a good man, he'll put up with it. But there are some guys out there, too, we're waiting on all the time as well. But hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's not going to be opportunity. Your traffic's going to happen. The baby's going to throw up on you. You got to go back. And I'm not saying, but you know what I'm talking about. When you have a mindset where you're always late. So your kid starts playing sports at school. And practice is over. And all the parents are coming to get him. And there goes little Tommy with his parents. See ya. There goes little River right over there with his parents. We'll see you, River. All right, there goes Cody. We'll see you, Cody. All the kids are leaving, gone. Little Connor, see with mom coming, see ya. And you're waiting there. And your kid's waiting, the last one to get picked up. They remember that stuff. They remember that stuff. There was one time I did that to my kids. They still bring it up to this day. I did that before. Hey, they brought it. Dad, you that was a lot. They still bring it up. I'm like, let it go. Let it go. But can I tell you, it affects them. It affects them. They're late to practice. Coaches say, as a coach, I would say, hey, if you're not here on time, you're running laps. And your kid's always running laps. Not his fault, but because mom can't get there on time and get him to the game on time. And then pretty soon he comes and tells you, man, I want to quit. I don't want to play basketball. I don't want to play baseball. It's not that he don't like it. He's tired of running. Because he's got parents that don't plan, so they're late to everything. Guys, some of us are never going to qualify for the promotions and the job increases. Because your bosses see that you come in late all the time. You think they don't see, but they see. They see. And you know what's even greater? The Bible says this, promotion comes from above. It comes from God. He sees. So when your boss is like, maybe we should give this promotion to her, God's like, nah, they ain't ready. Boom. And he drops something else in there. God wouldn't do that. That's me. No, that's God's grace for you. Because he knows if you get it, you won't be able to handle it. It's the same reason I didn't give my 14-year-old car keys. It's not because I don't love him. It's if I would have did that, he would have wrecked that car and possibly lost his life. So the year of the upgrade means we've got to invest in our thinking. This is where I'm getting at. Now, in the next couple weeks, I'm going to get at every single one of these things on the screen behind me that teach us how to move out of impoverished thinking. And listen, do this for your kids. Do this for your grandkids. Get to the house of God. Place some value on the content I'm trying to teach you. And you might say, oh, my kids are old. Well, be the grandma that's dropping gems on them. Be the granddad that's telling them good stuff instead of the same old generational curse talking. And help them. I'm telling you, it's the year of the upgrade. And we're going to get better this year. Amen. Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.